morning I'll be reading from 1 Peter 2, 13 to 20. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God.
Well, two men were on their way to church. They lived in the city, and so they could walk to church. So they were walking down the streets, and they saw a beggar who was sitting there. Not only was he a beggar, but he was also a paraplegic. He was crippled. He was unable to move, unable to really take care of himself, but he sat there, and he was begging. And most people just walked right on by. They had seen this man for many years. They'd give him a little bit of help here and there, but nobody really paid much attention to him. But on this particular morning, this man was crying out, and these two gentlemen were walking by, and they saw him. And they turned and looked directly at him, and they healed him. This man was leaping for joy. He was so excited. For 40-plus years, he was unable to walk, unable to move, living life as a beggar. And in one snap of the finger, the love of two men in the name of Jesus Christ was able to free him from all this. And so the town threw a great celebration. But they didn't. Now the local authorities came and arrested these two men and threw them in jail. And then the next day said, by whose power did you heal this man? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stepped up and said, I'm going to paraphrase this. You arrested us for healing a man, and the only thing about it is you want to know whose power we did this in? It was in the power of Jesus Christ. The authorities, they couldn't keep him because they really had no charges against him, but they told them, you will not speak in his name anymore. Well, I'm thankful that they didn't obey that order, or else many of us wouldn't be here today. The entire Christian faith wouldn't look the same. But yet, Peter writes this letter about submitting to all authority. So what was he getting at when he said that, when he himself boldly disobeyed when giving this command? And that's what we're going to talk about today as we work through 1 Peter here. Because Peter's the man who did this act. Peter's the man who disobeyed and yet writes to these individuals under severe persecution, you submit to all authority. So we sang that last song, who's ready to be refined and defined. As I have to be honest, this was not an easy passage to really work through. 29 years of growing up in American culture of I do what I want, how I want, when I want. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm not submitting to no one unless I want to. To have this passage, in-depth study on what he was saying, It was some severe refining and defining going on in my heart as well as I read through this. Very powerful stuff. So let's see what Peter's up to in these scriptures. Well, for sake of recapping, if you would listen to this letter from front to back, so far these are the things that you would have heard Peter tell you. You are a holy people. You're a chosen race. You're God's people, aliens in this world, sojourners. You're only here for a little while. Well, maybe you can start to see where that thought process might lead you. Hey, we're set apart. We're different. So all these people coming in and persecuting us, we don't have to submit to them. God, he's our authority. So that's where this comes into play here. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. And we just want to keep this one phrase, for the Lord's sake, in our mind as we continue to work through this whole passage here that Peter's talking about, because it's key to understanding where he's coming from and what he means by what we're going to talk about. So he then exhorts these people, submit. So we don't see the word obey. He uses the word submit. We need to make that clear. However, the word that he uses is a military term. As in, soldier, you will submit to your commanding officer, and when he tells you to do something, you're going to do it. So it's a very strong submit word that Peter uses here. And this same language is used in Titus. Titus 3:1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. And again in Romans 13:1, Paul exhorts, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So this is pretty consistent theme in the New Testament. This isn't just Peter kind of on his own as a rogue doctrine encouraging these people to submit. We see Paul doing the exact same thing. And they're going all over the world, all different governments that they're speaking to the people of. And each time they're encouraging, submit to your authority, submit to your authority. And what gets even more outrageous, if I'm one of the original listeners and I just witnessed half of this congregation being arrested, tortured, thrown in jail, thrown into a gladiator pit, this next verse is going to shock me. Because he doesn't just say every authority, that's very general. Very general, every authority. Then he gives some specifics. First one, to the king, or better translated, to the emperor. So that Emperor Nero, that man who doesn't like you simply because you're Christian, the man who has incited the entire population to hate you, yeah, that guy, we still want you to submit to him. Or to governors, he continues. These are kind of the guys who work for the king. And these men are meant to go out and keep civil obedience. So they commend those who do right and they put in jail those who do wrong. So you hear the same language, that this is instituted by God. Authority is a God-ordained thing, and if we're going to honor God, we need to honor and submit to authority. And then in verse 15, continue on down with me. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And we see this phrase, doing good. Now, if we remember, the verse right before this was the key verse of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So this ties back to that exact statement, that there's a purpose to this. There's an intent. There's a reasoning that is permeates itself throughout all of 1 Peter, and he's using these specific words to tie these two together. So, doing good. It also brings in verses 16 and verses 20, as we'll see. And even verse 14, I found this very interesting. Were to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. And Peter, we're going to see in a little bit, he plays with those words a little bit, saying a government and authority is set up to do this. It's set up to keep civil obedience. He uses this word doing right. And then he switches, and for the rest of the time, he talks about doing good. And we're going to see how that kind of flips itself on its head as we continue through here. So far, we have submit to authority and do good. But there's another thing that he repeats very often in these passages, and that's this showing respect idea. And again, it's very general. It's here in verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Back to verse 13. For the Lord's sake, submit to everyone. Now he's saying, for the Lord's sake, show proper respect to everyone, to all people. But in typical fashion of this section here, he then gives us three examples of what that looks like. So we respect each other, the brotherhood, by love. So when we love each other, that's a sign of showing respect. That's a sign of being obedient to God. We respect God by fear. Only one person that we're to fear, and it's God. He's the only one worthy of that response from people. Not authorities on earth, not our parents, not our grandparents, not the pastor, not your Sunday school teachers. God alone is respected by fear. And then he says, honor the king, honor the emperor. Peter, do you realize what the emperor's doing? Do you realize the damage that he's done? Yeah, but honor him anyway. He then continues in verse 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. There's that respect word again. Not only to those who are good and considerate, catch this, but also to those who are harsh. So a slave respects his master by submitting to them, whether they're harsh or whether they're considerate. We can kind of see the tone of where Peter's going with this, how striking this is to the culture that we live in today. Because here's what he's basically saying. A Christian submission comes in the form of doing good and giving respect for the Lord's sake. It's back to how he starts off verse 13. This is all for the Lord's sake. God ordained authority. We submit to honor God. And I really like, what John Piper has to say about this. John Piper says, you look a king or governor in the eye and say, I submit to you. I honor you, but not for your sake. I honor you for God's sake. I honor you because God owns you and rules over you and has sovereignly raised you up for a limited season and given you the leadership that you have for his sake and for his glory and because of his rightful authority over you. I honor you. So hear me when I say this, when what this scripture is definitely talking about. It's absolutely telling us certain things. Those of you who are living at home still, under the leadership of your parents, under the authority of your parents, this is absolutely saying that you're to submit and obey to your parents, regardless of whether or not you like what they say, regardless of whether or not you think that it's fair, regardless of whether or not you understand why in the world they would have this crazy rule in the first place. Biblical submission is relatively clear in these passages. You're also, if you're in school, to submit to your teachers, your professors, your principals, your vice principals. Whether it's the easiest class or the most difficult teacher you've ever had, whether they take time and love you, like they're your own child, or whether they're as cold and as put off as possible. This is telling us to submit. Okay, so those of you who work, you have a boss, you report to somebody, You're to submit and obey that person. Whether or not he's a good boss, whether or not she has more of an encouraging leadership style or a dictator leadership style. Whether that person got there because they're the relative of the owner, it doesn't matter. They have been ordained for authority, and we are called to submit and obey to that authority. And those of us who live in the United States of America, whatever president is in place, whatever governor is in place, we are absolutely called in this passage to submit and obey to those authorities, to honor the president, whether we agree with his policies or not, to honor the Senate, to honor the governors, to honor the local jurisdiction that's put in place. We might not agree with everything, and it's not telling us to agree with everything. It's telling us to submit and honor. Now, has anyone ever seen the movie Finding Nemo? All right, because we're about to come to something, and I wanted to put this clip in, and I probably should have, because I think it would have been really funny. But remember when they see that boat, and they're all by the edge, and the one's like, "What's that?" And the other person says, "That's a butt." And they go, "Whoa, that's a big butt." Well, we're in for a big butt right here, because so far all I've been saying is submit and obey, submit and obey. But that's not all what this passage is talking about. That's one aspect of what this passage is talking about. Because there's a huge but in here, and Peter doesn't use that word, but I decided to use that word. And what we see here, submitting to authority is to be continual. And if you have your sermon reference sheet, this might be one of your first answers. Submitting to authority is continual. We continue to submit. Whether or not we agree with it, whether or not we like it, we submit. But obedience is conditional. Obedience is absolutely conditional. Conditional upon what? That's a great question. Well, here's a couple Bible examples that I pulled out. First would be Daniel. Daniel was told that he was not allowed to pray to anybody except the king. There was this new edict put in place. Did Daniel obey that? No, he was seen praying in his upper room. So he didn't obey. But then what happened? He got punished. And he submitted to that punishment. He said, "I did what I thought was right by following my God. If you have to do this punishment, then I'm going to submit to that." In very similar fashion, his comrades, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had the same certain thing come up where they were told, "You have to bow down to this huge statue of Nebuchadnezzar." And they said, "No, we're not going to do it. We bow to one person and one person only." And so for that, they got thrown into fire, which again, they submitted to. And the example that I used in the beginning, the apostles, John and Peter, in their response here, listen to what they say. So they're told, "You cannot speak in the name of Jesus Christ." Verse 19 of Acts 4. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." So this big condition of whether or not we obey or not, it's seen in verse 16, and I skipped over verse 16 when we were working through those verses. But let's strap back to that, because this is a very important verse to 1 Peter. This is what everything hinges on and why this all makes sense. He says, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." And that word "servants" would be better translated "slaves." So this is a very paradoxical statement that Peter's throwing at us, saying, live free, but you're still a slave. Live free, but you're to submit to God as the ultimate authority. And that's what it's saying. So how do we determine whether or not we obey something? Is it whether or not we're comfortable obeying it? Is it whether or not we agree with what they're exactly saying? Not necessarily. We determine whether or not to obey by being conscious of God. There we go. By being conscious of God. There is one reason, and only one reason, why we as a Christian community would ever defiantly stand up and say, I am not obeying that law. I am not obeying this rule. Forgive me, parents, children. I am not obeying you, Father, in this. And the one and only reason that we are given charge to do that is whether or not following through with that law, following through with that rule, would violate God. The one and only reason. This is not a license for liberty. This is not a license to do as we want and to say, well, it doesn't matter. First Peter says we just have to submit. We don't have to obey. No, that's not what it's saying. Because it's saying use all your actions for good. And disobeying authority is not good. So what's the takeaways from all of this? First and foremost, obedience to God is our calling. Obedience to God is our calling. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and then I'll get to that, have you given any human institution greater authority than God? Have you decided to follow something and turn your back on God because it was easier? Because you didn't want to be mocked or made fun of? I think about a situation at work. Maybe you're in the workplace and your boss, you're a salesperson, and your boss tells you, yeah, these ones over here, they're a little defective, but sell them for full price as if they're still perfectly, and let the customer deal with it. Well, on one hand, you could say, absolutely, you're the boss. But then we'd be turning our back on God. And so there's a risk in doing it, which we're going to get to. But note the word live. He says, live as free men. Live as servants of God. Not know what God wants. Not think in your hearts. Not believe. It's live. Live it. And if we want to live as Christians, that means we live all of it, in all of our life, all the time. And we also sang that song this morning, and the words were, everything I am for your kingdom, Lord. Everything I am. Whether I'm talking politics, sports, whether I'm at work, at home, whether I'm playing sports, everything I am, honoring you. And that includes submission. That includes submission. So the first one, obedience to God is our calling. But as we've seen, and as the text clearly tells us, obedience to God has consequences. It's going to have consequences. It is extremely countercultural, especially in the United States, to be living a lifestyle that's obedient to God, that submits to authority. Just is. You just don't see that very often in our country, in our world. So living this is going to have consequences. Well, what are those consequences? Well, it could be a whole lot of consequences based on it. Maybe you lose friends. Maybe you lose your job because you're unwilling to do something that's unethical. But look at what Peter tells us. Verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Verse 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Going back, don't use this freedom to do wrong. Is that when you get punished? There's nothing in that. You're getting what you got deserved because you broke the law. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable for God. And then he gives like the ultimate trump card. And he uses Jesus as his example. Because when we get consequences for following God, we're to submit to those consequences, just as the disciples did. How many times in the book of Acts do we read that Peter or Silas or Paul, they were out preaching the word and the town threw them in jail, and so they created a revolution and called the armies in? Never. It's not written. It's not written. They submitted to the consequences. They knew what they were doing was against culture. They did it anyway. But they submitted to the authorities that were above them. And isn't it amazing how God responded in almost all those situations? Earthquakes happening, angels coming and opening doors, jailers coming to Christ, and an entire family of people who never knew Christ joining the kingdom because these disciples were bold enough to live for God but to submit to the consequences regardless of what they were. Wow. Wow. One of the early fathers of the Mennonite tradition, Menno Simons, has this to say. They are true brothers of Jesus Christ who with him are born from above, from the Father, and are like-minded with him. There's two things in there that we really need to see in his statement and how it lines up with Peter. One, we're born from the Father. We can't do this on our own. We could superficially submit for a certain amount of time, but when the pain gets too hard, or when life gets too rough, without Jesus Christ living in our hearts, we're going to respond very much to the rest of the world when this situation happens. By lashing out, by protecting, by defending, by not submitting. It's only when Christ, the servant of God who came, lived the perfect life, the only person in all eternity who could be called good, and he suffered on a cross after being flogged. Talk about submitting to authority. And the ironic thing was, is he was technically the authority over them at all times anyway, and yet he still submitted. Powerful example. And the other part here is like-minded. There's a quote, "You're not always what you think you are, but what you think you are." You're not always what you think you are, but what you think you are. So what that means, if we want to respond like Christ, we need to start thinking like Christ. We need to start letting his Spirit rule our actions, rule our thoughts, rule our minds, rule our responses. And if we're thinking like that, the acting will come as a result of it, because what we think, the thoughts we allow into our minds, the things that we allow to create us, is what we become. The question we have to ask in light of this is, what are we not submitting to that we need to submit to? What are we rebelling against that God's saying, you need to submit to this for my sake, for my glory, for my honor? Now, this is hard. This is not the pep talk of the century, I realize that. But it certainly gives us clear dependence on who we need to be dependent on in life to live the way that the Bible wants us to. It's by being dependent on Christ. But it's also by being in community, by surrounding ourselves with Christians who can keep us accountable, who can encourage us when life is getting too hard and we don't want to submit. And that gentle voice can come in and say, God's with you, and he wants you to submit to this. And so it's in that light that we have the awesome opportunity this morning to welcome in two new families into this community of believers, into this community of encouragement and support, this body of Jesus Christ. So if Eric and Amy Heyman and Joe and Amy Reinford would like to come forward now, and we are going to receive them as new members. They are transferring their memberships from Franconia, and we, with arms wide open, are receiving them. And if you remember, on the 14th, we received Lon and Sarah Hansen, Samuel Good, and John and Shirley Kiefer into membership. And so this is basically that same, I don't want to call it, but class of new members, if you will. So I'm going to ask them a couple questions, and we'll get their response. Hold on, then pass it down the row. Do you reaffirm Jesus as your personal Savior and the leader of your life?
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
All right. Do you believe that God is leading you to membership in the body of Christ at Finland?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Yes, I do.
And do you desire to join with the church at Finland, devoting yourself to the study of Scripture, sharing in the fellowship, worship, and mission of the church?
Yes, I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Okay, well, we've heard their vows, and if I remember the first time we went through this, I thought it sounded a whole lot like a marriage, and in some ways it is. We are the bride of Christ. Welcoming these new members, I'm going to encourage everyone, if you would support them in welcoming them, to stand together and simply say these words to them. We accept you into the body at Finland. All right. What a wonderful day. And how affirming that after a sermon like that, they still want to join this body. So you guys can take your seats now. Thank you. So this is the memory verse, and you guys can all have a seat. I mean, you can stand too if you want. It doesn't really bother me. Memory verse for the week. And if we just want to repeat this together, because again, this is that this hinges around everything. If we miss the fact that we do this for God, then we miss the whole point of what Peter's telling us and why we're to submit in this. So repeat with me 1 Peter 2:16. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Thank you.